Hi, I'm Josh. I was born in poverty-laden Flint, Michigan to a blue-collar working family. I went from pulling weeds, washing dishes, and delivering pizzas to building a small business doing over $150,000 a month. I sold it and moved to Costa Rica with my wife and four kids. And on this podcast, we explore the secrets and the strategies that I used to win. Building your business is one of the hardest things you will ever do. So let me finally help you automate, grow, and someday sell your company. Hey, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with me. This is Josh Latimer coming to you from not Costa Rica anymore. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I guess not that you guys care that much, but I'm in Michigan and there's like 2 feet of snow around me. We bought a house here and I have a good friend on the line, Chris Martinez. Now, Chris has a very, very unique story. And I say that a lot. This time I really, really mean it even extra more. Is extra more a phrase? I don't know. I'll let you guys decide that. But Chris, I'm going to let him break down his background, but seriously dysfunctional background, lots of pain and suffering and self-limiting, all kinds of stuff that would really hinder someone like him from having what he has. He's got three kids and a beautiful wife and a business that's killing it. I really wanted to have him on, especially for some of the younger businesses, people that they don't do $100,000 a month yet, but they have ambitions because Chris's company is only 3 years old. It's growing like a rocket ship, possibly even too much. I'll ask Chris about that in a second. They've done over $30,000 in their biggest month already, and they're growing every month. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well, Josh. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on with you, buddy.
Oh man, I tracked you down and harassed you to be on with me. So it wasn't an allowing. It was like, Chris, get on my podcast. And it probably sounds weird me like bragging about you, like, oh, he's so great and his business is doing this and this and this. But you know, honestly, I work with hundreds of people from all over the country, even in other countries. And your story is not particularly normal. I mean, the amount of growth you have, I know you're in a decent market down there, but what's going on? I mean, you guys are crushing it right now.
Yeah. You know, man, the only reason we are so-called crushing it is I've been able to be a really good copycat, copy guys like you. And, I do not reinvent the wheel. I just do exactly what someone told me, if you want what others have, you just got to do what they do. And, that's what I've done. I've saw what you've done and the Howards have done and the Chris Lamborghinis have done. And I just mimic you guys and try not to reinvent that wheel.
Well, here's the little dirty little secret. I didn't invent the wheel either.
That's right.
Like, right? I mean, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants. Look, not that I'm a giant or even the people I learned from are giants, but the idea is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But the real problem, Chris, isn't, in my experience, it's not really an information problem. Yes, they need to learn techniques. Yes, they need to understand copy and marketing and margins and some financial stuff. But the really big problem is execution of getting out there and just doing it, putting in the work. Like, it's hard. And you've obviously done that, because if you copied Chris or me or anybody, we all worked our butts off like crazy mad freaks for a long time to build what we had. I'm assuming you did the exact same thing. Is that right?
That's right. You know, actually, and, you know, Howard Partridge says the number one reason businesses go out of business is because of FTI, failure to implement. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that we've done from the start is execute. Like, I mean, as soon as you have a thought, you need to execute on it. As soon as you think about it, don't push it off till tomorrow. And then, you know, one of the other things, and here's the, like, someone was just telling me, because we put out a lot of videos with free content on there, and I actually had somebody message me saying, I can't believe you're putting out all this content. You're giving away all the secrets. And my theory behind it is I can give away every secret that I have, but I also know that the most majority of people aren't going to implement or execute what we say. So I don't have a problem, you know, telling my local market exactly what we do, because I already know that most people aren't going to do what is required to have massive success. So
that's right.
Have to execute, man. And it comes down to anything. If you're, you know, I've learned that it's not the diets that fail or the businesses that fail or the marriages that fail. It's actually the people that fail because they don't execute.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And, you know, it's easy for us to toss around this term of execute and like, yeah, well, just execute. I mean, come on, just do it. Just man up, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? And I don't want to have that tone, because I know that that's not your heart. That's not my heart. Like, execution is hard, and we have to have personal responsibility. But I also know what it's like to have zero motivation, have zero hope, to be in a super dark place, to be really ready to walk away from my business many, many times before I ever, yeah, you know, sold the company and did what we did. I mean, it's not like some straight path of warm, fuzzy unicorns to success. I mean, there's pain, there's doubts, there's things we do when we execute and it totally fails and bombs and we break stuff and we make financial error. I mean, it's a painful journey too, right?
That's absolutely right, man. And I think that's when, this is going to sound cheesy and we can come up with all the cliche terms, but that's when you have to have a why that's bigger than your failures. And I really, really believe that you have to have something that pushes you and drives you more than just money or more than just results. But, you know, when you start to have those days, you got to have something that pushes you through that.
Because, oh, yes,
it can get hard, man. It can. And me and you were talking about this in the pre-interview thing, but, you know, business isn't always easy. I know people look at, you know, the numbers and they say, oh man, he's crushing, he's doing great. But there is failures in that. You just fail forward. I often say that three steps forward and two steps back is still a step forward. And that's all we're doing, is taking three steps forward, two steps back. And we're inching our way there. And I think you just have to have that why that's big enough to push you even when you feel like quitting.
There's no doubt that that is true. No doubt at all. Because I know for me, the reason I would get out of bed with no motivation and still put my shoes on and still walk out the door is because, guess what? There's other people depending on me outside of myself. If it was just me, myself, and I would have just bailed on the thing. I don't have a problem letting myself down, but it's a lot harder when you have, you know, a family and kids and people, you know, business partner or employees or whatever you have pushing you, motivating you. Because, you know, for me, I think men, this is getting a little philosophical here, but I believe that men are designed to lay their life down for something bigger than them. And again, I don't care if it sounds cheesy or not. I'm 100% serious. The reason we like movies like Braveheart, for example, is because there's something in us. We are designed to metaphorically kill ourselves for something bigger than ourselves. But the problem lies when you have goals or a situation or an environment where no one else holds you accountable, no one else is relying on you, it's way harder to execute. And when you do have people relying on you, it's hard to execute too, but you still do it, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
You know, business is an epic thing. It's like, it's emotional highs, emotional lows, kind of all mixed together. Have you ever seen that graph where it says what people think success looks like, and it's a little arrow kind of going up at a 45-degree angle, and then it says what success actually looks like, and it's like this squiggly, like, blob of lines all crossing over each other, and then it kind of eventually goes up.
Right. That's right.
Well, tell us about your background a little bit. You know, your business is only 3 years old. Back us up. Who's Chris Martinez? How did you grow up? What's your story?
Yeah, you know, it's been... They could probably make a movie out of the life I've lived. And it's been a crazy, you know, matter of fact, when we tell the story, the only reason people believe it is because there's people alive to say, yeah, it's true, man. It's crazy. So, you know, I often start my story. I was born in 1983 and crack hit the streets in 1985. And it was pretty much game over for me. My mom was a crack addict. My dad was a heroin addict. And at the age of 2 years old, I was placed in foster care. By the time I was 11 years old, I lived with 13 different families, just passed around from family to family. Been through all the rejection, the heartache, you know, abandonment issues. No one wants me. And with all that came the reinventing the cycle, so to speak, of my parents, the, you know, me having to go through drug addictions and in and out of jail, catching felony drug charges. You know, at just here in 2009, I had the SWAT team kick down my door at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, masked up men with machine guns, pointing them at my head, get on the floor, get on the ground, you know, and to go from all that, you know, a broken family, poverty, just a hellish life to where we are today, man, it's just a miracle in itself. And I I believe 100% that if I can do it, then anybody out there can do it. So, you know, it's a past of heartache, but it's a past that I would never replace with another one, because now there's a story behind it that I can tell people, like, hey, if I can get through it, you too can get through it. And the same thing with business. If I can get to, you know, 10,000 a month, you can. If I can get to 20, you can. So it hasn't been easy, man. And that's what one thing I hope that people can take away from this interview, if they don't take anything away from it, is that it's not easy. And I know some of us try to make it look easy. We put out our videos and always smiling, but you know, there are rough days and there's going to be rough patches. And, yeah, man, I, the past in the background, it's been hellish, man. It's been a roller coaster. Definitely a hellish ride.
Well, who did you have in your life to help speak, you know, some sort of positivity into your life? I mean, did you wake up one day and just say, okay, never mind, I'm just going to have this positive outlook and start a business and, you know, get married and have all these kids? I mean, what happened? I mean, was there a seed planted early? Did you have some sort of mentor stumble across your path? I mean, there had to be some outside influence, you know, God's grace, of course, but how the heck did you pull out of that?
Dude, that's a great question, because it's something I'm so passionate about today. You know, I had somebody, I'll tell you the backstory of it. I used to grow weed with a friend of mine that decided he no longer want to do it. And the next time I saw him was like 6-8 months later, and he was driving an Escalade. And long story short, he was in network marketing, and I got involved with him and his network marketing company. His dad was one of the top earners in the company, and this guy comes from extreme poverty as well, was a drug addict. Matter of fact, during that time of his life, he was actually on parole for a drug charge. And this guy here, man, like when I remember him and remember people talking about him, no one talked good about him. He was a scumbag, a drug addict. And when I saw him, that wasn't the same person. And I remember him taking me in. He's like, I don't care if you don't do anything with the network marketing side of it. My goal is to help you become a better person, because I know what it's like to be in your shoes. And he set me down one day and he said, Chris, I want you to design your future. If money wasn't an issue and your past wasn't an issue, you know, who's your wife? Not, you know, she's pretty, but like the characteristics of her, like what, you know, what color eyes does she have? And is she filled with drama or joy? And just start listing it. And what's your future house look like? Right down to the detail, you know, how many square feet is it? What are the countertops? And I did all this stuff. And then he asked the question, who do you have to become to attract all that stuff? Who do you have to become to attract that wife? Because the person you are right now is not going to attract that girl. Mm. And it hit me, man. Like, it was one of them things, like, this is the person I went to him one day and I just started talking to him about how life sucks. And at the end of the conversation, he looked at me right in my eye and said, no, Chris, life doesn't suck. You suck. And man, it made me so mad. You know, I'm like, dude, are you kidding? Here I am looking for sympathy and somebody to give me the victim card and like, oh, poor you. And here he is like, no, dude, every decision you make. And at that particular time, I wasn't that serious about changing my life. So he, you know, he said, hey, look, dude, I got to move on. My time is valuable. But it wasn't until, you know, I caught my drug charge and then I started asking myself, there has to be a better life than the life I'm living. My dad spent half of his life in prison. I have cousins and aunts and uncles, and, you know, most of my family has been in prison. And here I am, like, I'm about to be in prison if I don't change something. And I just started asking myself, there has to be a better way. And then it just going back to what my mentor told me, is that person going to attract the life that he wants? And I really had to start digging deep and say, man, is this the life I want to live? Wow. And that guy really, he doesn't even probably know it, because it took 2 years for them words to resonate in me. But he's the guy that kind of changed it all. And I had to ask myself, who do I want to become to attract the things that I want to have? And that's when it started for me.
I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest reasons I'm passionate about mentoring people today, because I really believe that change starts right there in your own community. Like we all get mad at the news and we all watch all that stuff on the news and we put people down that don't believe in us or don't believe in the same things we believe in. But if we just start speaking life into people and, you know, meeting them right where they are and lifting them up to where you are, I think, man, the world could be a better place. Our community could be a better place. And it's something I'm really passionate about because that's what people have done for me. I mean, I am not where I'm at because I got lucky. I'm where I'm at because people spoke life into me and given me a hand on the way. Wow. And, yeah.
Well, it was really cool that he was so brutally honest with you, even though you were offended at the time and mad and probably wanted to punch the guy. It was like a truth bomb, right? You ever heard the phrase a truth bomb?
Yep, where
no matter how mad you are, once it's inside you, you can't shake it because deep down you know that it's true and you know that you got to change. And as business owners, I see this a lot too. People externalize all their struggles like, well, the market where I'm in is different. And, you know, you don't understand, my employees suck way worse than everybody else's employees. And it's impossible to find good help and blah, 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 and on and on and on and on and on. And it's the same thing with that guy spoke to you. It's no. Your employees don't suck. You suck. Like your market doesn't suck. You suck. Like step one is to be honest with yourself. Right. And this speaks to me. Like I have a software company now. It's small. It's growing. But it's, you know, parts of it are a mess. We're figuring it out. It's a totally different business model. And like every time I get frustrated with something, I have to be honest with myself and say, no, Josh, like you suck at this and you need to fix it. You need to educate yourself because it's the truth. You can't really make any progress until you acknowledge that, right?
It's absolutely right, man. As a matter of fact, the first year in business, I had to adopt that. I had to, because I had every excuse in my first year of business on why we couldn't, I couldn't get the phone to ring. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't, you know, book an appointment. And I remember having all those excuses. Well, it's just the wrong time of year or, you know, the market or, you know, there's 2,000 window cleaners in my area. There's no way nobody's going to call me. And then I had to just like what he told me, dude, it's not everything else. It's not the circumstances that suck. You just suck as a business owner. And once I determined that, like, dude, you're a horrible business owner. Matter of fact, I remember the exact day that I decided that I was a horrible business owner. And, that's when it turned around, man. That really was when you start to take responsibility. I'm convinced that anyone that ever wants to change anything, if you just start taking responsibility for yourself, things start to change.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And look, here's the caveat. If people are listening to this and you feel like crap about yourself now and you're like, God, why did I turn this podcast on? Now you guys are telling me how much I suck and now I know it's true and I do suck and now I just want to go home and eat Cheez-Its and not try. Look, everyone sucks in the beginning. Everyone has a plate. Look, nobody knows anything until they learn it, until they do it, right? And Chris Lambertini's is kind of the window cleaner, big, you know, mysterious success guy out there, right? He didn't know what the heck he was doing in the beginning. You figure it out. It's a messy, not imperfect journey. And you guys, in 3 years, especially because your whole first year, you weren't exactly crushing it. You were kind of just wandering, right? So really, kind of in 2 years, you've gotten up to this level. And it's not just the 30,000+ a month in revenue your company's doing. I know that you guys are doing profitable revenue and that you price jobs at a premium rate. You know, the whole perceived value thing is important to you. I talk about that tons, you know, a lot on this show and in my ebooks and on my courses and everything. I know that you take that to heart. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, when we first started the business, you know, my whole life I've been a window cleaner, and that's where I've worked for a lot of different companies. I've worked for companies that have done well over $1 million a year, and I've worked for companies that just didn't make it. And one thing that I noticed that you say it all the time, and I know you didn't come up with it. I think Michael Covey says it, but begin with the end in mind.
That's right.
And we started the company with the end in mind. We didn't want to have to go back to customers 2 years later and say, hey, we have to raise the prices on you because when we first got you, you know, as a customer, we were cheap, you know? So right from the beginning, we wanted to have that perceived value. We wanted to be a company that when they saw our logo, when they saw our flyers or however they heard about us, We wanted them to think, man, this company's been around for a long time. They know what they're doing. And when I call them, I know they're probably going to be more expensive than the next guy. And we stuck with that business model. And it you know, it was rocky at first because, you know, you're the most expensive company out there with really no references, no one to back you up. But what we did have was the perceived value of it. Like, wow, I mean, these guys are great and I haven't even used them yet. We've made it to where we're the best window cleaning company without the customer even using us. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do that and really capture that perceived value, you can really get ahead on the competition and win in business. And I think a lot of people miss this opportunity because we all think about it in sales. But I think if we can take the eye off of sales and put it on marketing, it makes the sales process so much easier if you have this marketing that is like, holy cow, the perceived value in your marketing, it sells itself. So I'm a horrible salesman, but I'm great at marketing. And so the marketing sells itself, so to speak. So,
well, yeah, here's what I would add too. Perceived value is so much more powerful than people realize. Most little businesses I work with, they don't realize that they're literally doing every single part of their company exactly like every single other business does it.
Yeah.
There's no separation. The way the voice inflection when you answer your phone is crap, just like every business is crap. The way that you schedule an estimate is like, well, let me see. Maybe could we come on Wednesday? Well, no, maybe we can do. There's no system. There's no process. There's no speed. You're not blowing people's minds ever. You're just a commodity. Yeah. And so the thing with perceived value, to get to my point, is that you can't just charge more money. You have to actually be better. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to actually be better. The perceived value isn't trickery. It's not like, hey, look at my smoke and mirrors and charge. I'm going to charge you double. Voila, abracadabra. No, you got to be the enthusiastic guy. Your company literature has to be better. Your pricing and your packaging has to be more clear. You have to be more charismatic when you meet with them. You have to follow up better. When you do the service, you got to crush it. You got to be the man or the woman. You got to be awesome. And then you follow up and then you get referrals. And then if there's a mistake, you stand behind your stuff, right? I mean, they're not particularly hard to do. But I think we just don't focus on it. Why don't you think people pull this together and behave like this, Chris?
I think, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. And that's what my competition doesn't stand a chance because just what you said, they won't do it. And I think a lot of it is discouragement. You know, a lot of people, they get so discouraged. And I know from at the beginning, our first month in business, we did $0 in sales. And that's very discouraging. I mean, that'll make you not want to do anything. When you answer the phone with $0 in sales, trust me, you're not answering the phone. Thank you for calling Love My Windows. How may I help you? $0 in sales. You're answering the phone. Love My Windows. Please, please book the job. You know what I mean? Please, you know? And I think that we allow our discouragement to really take over. You know, when you first start your business, you're super excited. You think that, you know, your hard work is going to pay off and that, you know, I'm going to crush it my first year. And then that first month comes around, it's brutal and you realize the reality of it. And then it just everything kind of all your, you know, your best phone script and your best phone answering voice and your best, you know, you're tucking in your shirt and all that stuff just kind of goes out the window because now it's like, ugh. And I really think from what I get out of people and for what it was for me was the discouragement. I was really discouraged in the beginning. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, man, it followed.
Cloud. It's like a little cloud. Like, you know, is it Linus on the Peanuts cartoon that he's always dirty and he carries his blanket and there's like a dust cloud around him?
Right. You know?
That's what it's like when you're negative and you're discouraged. People can feel it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what it was for us, man. Cause, you know, we did do a lot of that in the beginning, but also it went away really quickly too, because it was like, well, what's the point if you only have one job this week? I mean, I'm going to tuck in my shirt every single day so my wife can see me at home with it, or I'm going to, you know what I mean? It follows along with everything you do. And that's what it is. In my opinion, it's just the discouragement that you have. And if you can really just get past it, you know, it's It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, I think business is definitely always harder than you think it will be when you go into it. I think we all do that. You know, you get revved up for your New Year's resolution and you want to get in shape, you want to get fit. You have all these visions of grandeur. You know, you see yourself with the six pack and you're ripped and you're perfectly toned. But, you know, you got to put in the work, and it's always way harder than you thought. It always, the progress is so much slower than you thought. And that goes back again to what we talked about before, which is having a really powerful why, having a vision for your life that's bigger than just your company and the service you provide, having a vision for your life that's outside of yourself. Look, our business, it's not who we are. It's just what we do, right? Like if your business, because, and this will transition good into my next thing I wanted to ask you about, which was when you started, you had this goal, this vision to make, you know, $600 a day. That was like your dream life for your business. If you could ever achieve that, that would be amazing. Now you're well beyond that. And, you know, but all your hopes and dreams aren't true. Your life isn't perfect. Explain what that's like to set a goal, exceed the goal, and still have a little bit of discontentment and not kind of know what's next. I think a lot of people could relate to that.
Yeah. You know, when we first started, before we started this business, I was actually a welder, and I was getting close to making $100,000 a year as a welder. And my first year in business, I did personally $25,000 that year. And that was a big, huge pay cut. And I remember sitting there and me and my wife talking about, if we can just get to $600 a day, that's $3,000 a week. That's $12,000 a month. I mean, we've made it, you know? And, you know, today, if we did $600 a day today, we would go out of business pretty quick. And it's like, where do you draw the line in success? For us, it's, I just started coming to this conclusion here, just here recently, is like, when is enough enough? You know, like, all I ever wanted to do was $600 a day. We passed that up pretty quickly. And, you know, $1,000 a day came, and then $2,000 a day came. And then it's like, wow, you know, if I can only get to $4,000 a day, then I'll hit success. And I don't, you know, it's like, you'll never hit success with that attitude. And that's where we are right now. It's because, like, well, Chris, and you know what, Josh, you told me this a long time ago. I don't know if you ever remember telling me this, but we were having a conversation. I remember saying something like, dude, I'm not happy because it's never going to be enough. And you said, Chris, if you never make another dollar in your life, you're already successful. Just, you know, from the family you have, the business you have. And I remember you saying that. And I think you really have to be content with where you are. It's hard to do this as an entrepreneur, being content with where you are, because all you want to do is grow and grow and grow. And particularly for me, I've had this pride issue this last year with the growth. Like, you know what? I want to be the fastest growing company to hit $1 million. Then I'll be happy. But really, are you going to be happy with that? Or are you going to just put another number up there? Like, okay, now I need to hit $100 million in the first 10 years. You know what I mean?
So that's right.
I think that there's a fine line with, in being an entrepreneur, with being content, with being happy where you are, and then also having an end result. Because, you know, goals are elastic goals. You can change them at any given time. You know, my goal was to hit $600 a day, and it blew it out the water to where I don't even know what the goal is anymore. You know, like, where's the end goal now? You know, it's like, where do you stop? And, you know, I think it could be it shouldn't be something that drives people's peace away. It shouldn't be something that people press over. And
I know that. And I know that you know that. But here's one problem that I see, is that if someone has never experienced really any measure of success with their business yet, you can't convince them that really is the key to their happiness. You know, they're like, no, you don't understand. If I can just have this, I promise that this will be my dream life. But it's not true, but they don't know that it's not true. It's almost like a don't touch a hot stove to your kid. Like, don't touch it. It's going to burn you. Getting burned sucks. You don't want that, right? And then they don't listen. They touch it. Then they finally understand. And so part of what we're talking about, honestly, comes with experience. You know, setting a goal that you never thought was possible, exceeding it by a lot, and then realizing, wow, like, I'm not happier. I'm not a better husband because that goal's accomplished. I'm not a better father. I'm not anything. I'm just a person, and it's just dollars on a spreadsheet. It doesn't do anything for me. I remember the first time I ever made $10,000 a month was before I started my company, and I was a mortgage banker, and I was really good at it. I did very well. I hated it, literally, but I was good at it. And, you know, the direct deposit came in. I was like 20 years old or something, or 21, maybe 22. And it just did nothing for me, right? So I kind of got a taste then. But with my company, I went through the same thing that you're describing right now. And the bottom line is, to everybody listening, the size of your business will not determine your happiness, your contentness, how good of a father you're. Like, there's so many more important things than hitting the next number on a spreadsheet. And one of the things I want to focus on in 2017 with my bootcamp is having more accountability groups so people do execute, but also not just focusing on numbers all the time. Like, the growth of your business is important, but, you know, having time for yourself, like having time to do what really matters and be a better father and all that. I'm really passionate about that. I want to give the people in the bootcamp the opportunity to work on those goals too. I mean, I think it's powerful, right?
Absolutely, man. You know, I was just, my kids go to a private school, and we are probably the poor people of the private school. And we were sitting in a class one day, and there was this little, it was like a Christmas party, or I don't know what it was exactly, but, and one of the parents said to me and, you know, my wife, basically, like, oh, you guys are the ones, you know, y'all probably live in that trailer park over there, and, you know, kind of rudely. And I was like, man, you know, and I started thinking about it, like, who's really successful here? I'm with my kid. I get to drop my kid off every single day at school and spend all my days and all my time, get to go all the basketball games. But yet your kid, the father's always gone. You know, yeah, you guys are millionaires, but he's gone. He's never at any game. He's never at any event. He never gets to, you know, have family time. And I really started thinking about who's more successful here. I get to have time freedom, and you get to have no time freedom. Yes, you have, you know, financial freedom. I don't know if that's true or not, but you have all the money in the world, and yet, who's more successful? And I really started thinking about that. Like, man, you know what? It's not it. And this is a hard thing to say to entrepreneurs. It's not always about money, because money, I've learned here that money is the easiest part of it all. Money comes and goes. I can lose $100,000 and make it back, but I can't lose 5 minutes and make that back, especially with your kids and with your family. So yeah, man, absolutely. I think that the goal for me is not to make so much money that I'm stupid with it. The goal is to make so much money that I can spend as much time with my family as possible. So now, instead of like relaying everything in money, like I'll like do that with time. You know what I mean? Like I want to make 20 more hours this week with my kids. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Imagine having a dashboard with all your key performance indicators, your goals, your metrics, and one of them is minutes with kids. Like, that's not even something, that's a really cool idea, actually. Or what, you know, date nights with wife this month, or hours spent, you know, doing nothing but chilling with my family. That is really what it's all about. At least that's what we say it's about. I think another side of it is that we get caught up and we believe our own lie and we think we're really awesome. And so we become obsessed and addicted to work. And then when the wife's like, you don't love me, you never come home. Don't you understand the sacrifices I make for this family? How dare you violate my masculinity? It's so funny. I've done that, by the way, like 183 times, but it's fake. It's not true. What the truth is, well, I'm kind of obsessed with my own success right now. I think I'm pretty awesome. And so I decided to neglect you and reinvest my time heavier into my business so I can feel even more awesome about myself. Like that's the ugly truth, but we do that.
It is, man. It is. And it's something that I've had to deal with here in this last, you know, this last year. You know, I went from being an employee, you know, for window cleaners and, you know, then weld shops to being a business owner. You know, here's one thing I want to say, it never sacrifice integrity for growth. And even in your family, don't sacrifice the, you know, integrity of your family to grow your business. Someone told, you know, I was actually having a conversation with an entrepreneur, another window cleaner from Austin here, probably 2 or 3 months ago. And he said some stuff, man, that I couldn't agree with him on. And you hear this all the time. I actually made a live video about it. And he was saying, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice everything for my success. You know, he's like, I missed my 3-year-old's birthday party this weekend so I could go do estimates. And I'm like, whoa, wait, You didn't even do the job. You just went and did you missed the birthday party. And to me, that really messes with me, because to be an entrepreneur, like I would have, the whole reason I stopped welding and working 80 hours a week is so I could go to my kid's birthday party. And here you want me to sacrifice that to make more money. And I'm all about sacrifices, man. I don't want anybody to think like, oh man, he doesn't, you know, he just thinks it's going to come easy. No way, dude. I'm all about the sacrifice, but I won't sacrifice my family or my time with my kids for growth.
How would you like to hang out with me for a whole week? I'm talking every single day for 7 days. Well, you can. You need to join my 7-day challenge. It's completely free. It's a ton of fun. Every single day, you get a special message with a short video from me firing you up to get rocking and kick your butt into gear for your business. Just send a text message, 7-day, to 44222. You got to spell it out, SEVENDAY. Text it to 44222, or you can find a link at automategrowsell.com.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, to be in the spirit of full transparency, I totally have done that and have done it recently. I mean, really, I have. And it's not what I want, but, you know, I keep doing it and it's not an easy thing. And, you know, I think the lie that we tell ourselves is it's impossible. I have no choice. I have to do this. Yeah. You don't understand. But it's really not true, because we can do whatever we want, but we're deciding to do it, and maybe it's fear-based, you know, fear of, you know, your business falling apart or whatever, but who knows? But I mean, just to be honest and real with people, it's hard. I have a bunch of projects going. I work a gajillion hours sometimes. you know, after I sold my business, I got really bored really fast. I honestly did. And I took a lot of other things on. I'm doing all this stuff. And, you know, I also think sometimes there's seasons in your life where you're just going crazy. The trick is to not get stuck there forever and to have good communication with your family. You know, I have a really supportive wife, but I don't want to take advantage of that and you know, be stupid with it either. But anyway, this is great. I mean, our whole conversation has been good. And I know I want to wrap it up here shortly. But before we do that, I'd hate to do a whole podcast with you and not talk about any practical service business stuff. Like, I want to get a couple nuggets from you. Because I know you're a big marketing guy, you're selling package, you understand the power of selling packages. I'm huge about teaching people that too, because it works. And also you have some like monthly recurring revenue stuff going, and break down some of those things on how you're having success, what your process is like, where is the hot part of your business right now, and how is it happening?
Yeah, you know, one thing that we do not have a huge business. I know some people think that we have like 4 trucks on the road and, you know, we have all these employees. We've been able to do what we've done with just 2 or 3 employees. And a lot of that is our package deals. And I'll, you know, we put out a lot of Facebook Lives on these package deals, but what we've done, and we've actually, increased our average ticket price from about $350 to about $750. So more than doubled our average ticket price by adding these package deals. So what we'll do is we've like increased our window cleaning price. I mean, you know, $14 a window for a basic window cleaning. And if you really want a good deal on window cleaning, then you need to go ahead and get your roof cleaned and your house power washed and your driveway done. So instead of us coming out there just to do your windows, we now go out there and do everything on a home. So instead of one home being $350, one home now is $1,000. So we stopped working off of volume. I'll give you an example. We did like $14,000 in 1 week with only 10 jobs. And
boom, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Two or three or four of you running around.
Yeah. So, you know, 11 jobs. Like when I looked on the schedule that week and I'm like, I told my wife, because my wife does the phones and stuff. And like, do we only have 11 jobs this week? And she's like, yeah, but did you not see the revenue we're going to pull in from those 11 jobs? And I'm like, I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. It's like an average ticket price of over $1,000. That's pretty good. And, you know, so that's really helped increase our average ticket price. And then, the monthly thing, you know, we don't make our minimum for doing windows is about $150. If you want us to come out there and clean one window, it's $150. So this monthly thing was kind of a hard thing for us to swallow, because it meant that we were going to have to lower our monthly to $65 a month. But here's what we decided to do, because I think of everything in a marketing standpoint. Like, for instance, if you have three homes on the same street, the ideal thing to do would be do all three of them on the same day. But we don't do that. We look at it a little bit differently. I want my van to be in that neighborhood 3 days in a row. I want the neighbors to be like, dang, this dude's always in my neighborhood. So we'll break that three homes down into three separate days.
That way. That's very interesting. I didn't know that. I haven't heard someone say that, but keep going. That's different.
It gives the owners in that neighborhood, they don't know we're doing three homes in that neighborhood. They don't say, oh my gosh, they just did three homes in the neighborhood. But if they see us in that neighborhood 3 days in a row, you know what they're going to say? They're always in our neighborhood. And that's what I want people to, and that's why we started doing this monthly thing, is because I want people to be like, dude, and it's been working. We have neighbors come outside and like, you're always in my neighborhood. Like, no, we're only in here once a month, but you always see us in your neighborhood. So that's great. So, you know, like just this happened just a couple weeks ago, the neighbor comes out like, how often do they get their windows washed? And we're like, oh, they get, you know, 11 windows done every single month. It's just like, well, I want my windows done too. So next thing you know, we're getting the neighbors, you know, and we're always put every month, we're putting the same five around on the same houses. Hey, your neighbors just got their windows cleaned again. So when we started the monthly thing, it wasn't necessarily just to make a ton of money. It was all for marketing purposes. I wanted people to see my van in their neighborhood all the time. And I wanted them to say that, I will see you in here all the time.
I love that. And that's awesome. I mean, and the monthly. So just to be clear, okay, when you said the word five around, some people don't know what that means, but that's when you target the neighbors of one of your existing customers. It's ridiculously effective. And if I may interject a little self-promotion here for 2 seconds, doing five rounds works very well. It works even better if you can hit them, you know, once a week for 3 weeks, or once every couple of weeks for a couple months. It's all about the drip, the sequence, the repetition. And just like Chris's truck going in there many times, you know, the reason I built sendjim.com, you can go to sendjim, the app is to do that. And I mean, one of the things people use it for is for five rounds, but you also have a route built for your guys, right? So the cleaning itself is really quick, right? You guys are hitting it in like 20 minutes, 30 minutes and moving on to the next job for the $65. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we only do it in one zip code because Houston's so big. You know, we'll open up more zip codes next year, but we only do it for one zip code. Well, actually, it may be two or three zip codes because they're all in the same area. So we only do it in like a 20 minute. It shouldn't take somebody more than 10, 20 minutes to drive to the next job. But yeah, the jobs only take about 15, 20 minutes to do. So, I mean, nobody's really losing money. The company's not losing money. Matter of fact, we're actually making money. We're making money on top of money, because what I've decided to do was that's my day to go out there and clean windows. So I do the monthlies. And that's my money, so to speak. That's kind of like my bonus. So it's pretty cool, man. You can work it in any way you want to work it. But we do 11 windows, exterior only, bottom floor only, flat windows for $65 every single month. And we've gotten so much work from these monthly jobs. And only that, the customers, I mean, it's hard to find another window cleaner when you're there every single month. Like, you know, are you going to go with the other company? No, they're every single month. You're building relationships with them. They start to know your kid's name and you start to know their kid's name. And, you know, how's little Johnny doing? Oh, is he better this time? And it's beautiful, because that's what, when you start to build that relationship, a person can come knock on the door and say, I'll clean the windows for free. And the homeowner will be like, no, it's okay. I know, love my windows. I know they do a great job. And I already built a relationship with them. Yeah, and that's the beauty about residential.
I know that from personal experience. When you have a real relationship, when it goes beyond just the transaction, hello, relationship marketing, when you do that, it's not about price anymore. It's about the relationship. They're not going to sell you down the river for a dollar less per cleaning or something. And that's the battle a lot of these guys fight every day, is being a commodity. And the only thing that differentiates you from your competitor is your price. Think outside the box. Chris, it's been awesome talking to you, and hopefully it inspires some people. And also, you gave some good nuggets here at the end that people can apply to their business. You know, how can people get in touch with you if they want to connect with you? Is Facebook the best? Do you have a website? What do you think?
Yeah, Facebook. You can connect with me on the Facebook. You can copycatentrepreneur.org. We are, trying to help small business owners as well. We offer your boot camp on there. Anybody that signs up with the Automate, Grow, Sell boot camp through the Copycat Entrepreneur, we actually help them one-on-one, help grow them, implement them business. I don't like to say coaching. We're more of accountability partners. Keeping you accountable. We also have some other projects coming out, man, that aren't business related, that, you know, faith, family, future, man, something that I'm very passionate about, my faith, and then also helping families grow their family values and then helping people create a future for themselves.
Oh, I love it. I love all of it. But is that website the best one to connect with kind of any of that? People can reach out if they're interested. Is it the Copycat Entrepreneur or just copycatentrepreneur.com?
thecopycatentrepreneur.org.
Okay.
And, I'll drop one more nugget for you, man, because here's something that's really changed my business. Something that it's just a quick quote. Amateurs focus on the front end while professionals focus on the back end. I'm seeing guys buy $50,000 rigs, but they won't spend a dollar in marketing. And, don't be scared to market. Don't be scared of the $10. Don't be, the whole amateurs focus on the front end while professionals focus on the back end. All that is saying is the amateur focuses on the $20 they got to spend while the professional gets excited about how much money that $20 is going to make them. So all That's you guys right. out there, begin with the end in mind and don't be scared to spend money on marketing, man, because marketing is where it's at.
Yeah, I'd rather have a huge marketing budget with used equipment any day of the week, my friend. You gotta fill up the machine, and the sales are the gasoline in your fuel tank. And if your business is small and stuck and you're scared to, spend a few $100 on something, come on. Yeah. Remember what we said at the beginning? It's not your circumstance, it's you. Come on, shift your thinking. Check out Send Jim, check out thecopycatentrepreneur.org. Chris, it's been a pleasure. You've been very generous. Josh, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man, for having me on, dude. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.